Good morning.
Good morning.
I am really happy today because I think it's a very cold day, right? When I say cold, and I mean the weather, I think all of us have been experiencing pretty hot weathers for the past few days. You know, thank God that we are able to enjoy another beautiful weather. Just let me check your memory, right? Last week, I think Pastor Simon was here. Am I right? Yep. And he was speaking to us. Am I right? Yes, okay. What was he talking about? The 7 days ago? He was talking about church? I heard another word. What type of church we want to be? Yes, yeah. Yes, I think it's a very powerful reminder. I think Acts chapter 2. It's a passage that actually speaks to us. I know it talks to us about what kind of church we want to be. Or in other words, what kind of Christians we want to be, we want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's why we are here for, right? We want to be like the early church. Many a times if you try to see many churches today, they want to follow the early church. Because when you look at the life and ministry of the early church was a very powerful church. It was very powerful, not only in its deeds, but I think in its life too. It was able to make an impact in the lives of the people who were gathering together. At the same time, the early church was able to make further inroads in the life of the community also. And it's a wonderful reminder. And sometimes we try to do whatever the early church was trying to do, right? The early church, if you read Acts chapter 2, it says they were devoted to God's word, they were fellowshipping. And if you realize, many churches today are trying to have a lot of programs and activities because we want to mirror the early church. We want to be the early church and we want to have that kind of vigor in us. And sometimes we realize, you know, it doesn't work out that way, right? We organize so many activities week after week or even day after day. But then we realize, you know, at the end of the day, nothing is happening, right? It looks like we have numerous programs, but that the effect is not there. But when you look at the early church, we need to ask ourselves, what made the difference? Why the early church was so powerful? By the way, I'm not going to speak about the early church. You know, I'm trying to see the relationship between the early church and the passage that we are looking today, Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to concentrate on verse 12 and 13 today. Right? You know, why the early church? It's not because of their program. It's all because of the people. It's because of what was happening in the lives of the people. And so, my friends, today as a church, we can have so many activities in the church, right? A lot of numerous activities, but that is not going to bring out what the transformation that we want. When you look at the life of the early church, it's about the people, right? The people that God was working in their lives. When the people's lives are transformed. Let me tell you, you know, God transformed the entire community. Let's pray and start. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day that you've given to us, that we can come. We can come, Lord, to enjoy your presence. We can worship you, God, and we can experience the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can encourage one another in the faith in our journey. And that's why we are here as a church today. And so we pray, Lord, even today, as we listen to your word, we pray that you'll help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage that we are looking today is Acts chapter 2. As I told you, we will look at two verses today, verse 12 and 13. And if you go back home, you know, read the following of other verses, 14, 15, it's all related. You know, the primary or the main particular verses 12 and 13. And I always thank God whenever I read God's word. I'm really fascinated because, you know, God's word reveals a lot of things. It's not a book of stories, right, where we hear about what happened during the time of Noah or during the time of Abraham. But I think we learn what God is expecting in our lives, you know, the joy that God can give us, the peace, you know, that is given by God. And so it is important for us to dwell on God's word and to look at God's word. If you read Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge, And so it is important for us to go back to the scriptures, because we will be destroyed, we will perish if we don't have the knowledge of God's word and we don't apply the particular knowledge of God's word in our life, in our daily experiences. And so verse 12 and 13, and if I read together with you, if it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation." As I told you, you know, the early church was powerful not because of its program, because of the people. In verse 12, it says, you know, it says, "Continue to work out your salvation." In other words, you know, they were working out, the early church was working out its salvation. The Lord saved them. They experienced the forgiveness of sin. They experienced the Lord coming into their lives. And what was happening? It was not a period. There was a process. They were working out their salvation. In other words, they were trying to be Christ-like. Their lives were transformed. They were trying to mirror the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word, we need to be very careful with this particular word. You know, continue to work out your salvation. It doesn't mean, right, when you look at the word, you know, in a literal sense, it talks differently. But it is not. It doesn't mean that we can save ourselves by our own deeds, right? By whatever we do things. It doesn't mean like that, right? And if I just tell you, it doesn't mean like that if you look at the particular verses. And secondly, it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that we can earn salvation, right? Salvation is by the grace of God, and it is the gift of God. It is God's grace that saves us, and it is God's gift that is given to us. So it doesn't mean that we work out our salvation by our own ways, by our deeds, by whatever we do. It is not like that. The way, you know, when you look at the word salvation here, many times we think, you know, the word salvation means, you know, I'm saying, when you look at the scriptures very carefully, the word salvation has a broader meaning altogether, right? It can be broken into three parts. First, it is actually justification. In other words, I'm justified. You know, the Lord is working in my life. I've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, salvation also means sanctification. In other words, the Lord is working in my life. There's a constant working of the Lord, the Holy Spirit working in my life, and I'm becoming transformed and becoming more into the image of Christ. That's sanctification. And lastly, the word salvation also means glorification. It's future. There is an absence of sin when I'm in the presence of God, when I'm enjoying my presence of God, right, when I'm in heaven. But when Paul uses the word salvation here, he's not talking about justification. He's not talking about glorification. Paul is talking about the present. In other words, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is working in our life. He's talking about sanctification. We have been sanctified. In other words, the Spirit of God is working in our lives, transforming our hearts and minds so that we will mature in our Christian living towards spiritual maturity, or towards spiritual perfection, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to talk about here. So in other words, he's not saying that, you know, we earn our salvation. He's talking about our sanctification. And that's why we are here, right? We are here because we want to be sanctified people. I think that was the secret of the early church. They were sanctified people. They were working out their salvation each and every day. They received the Lord Jesus Christ. They allowed the Spirit of God to work in their lives. And that's why the early church was successful, was powerful, right? It was making a lot of impact in the lives of people. When you look at this particular word, verse 12 and 13, when you look at this word sanctification, you know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, you know, how does sanctification work? If you look at this particular word, you know, it says, you know, the two things that we will say before this, you know, our part in sanctification. Verse 12 talks about our role in sanctification. Let me tell you, it is not that I've been saved and the Lord has to work in my life. You know, I have to work. I have to do my part. And verse 13 talks about what is God's part. To be much more clearer, our part doesn't mean that I work on my own. I need to depend on God to work in my life too. I can't achieve without God's help. So I work together with God, and God does His part in verse 13. He does His work, His role. It's something like a coin, right? You need to have two faces in the coin. So I work, not independently, but I depend on God. And God is working in my life too. And that's sanctification. And how does sanctification start? If you look at the word particularly in verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed." So the path of sanctification is obedience. How do I become holy? Right? It's not just because I come to service, you know, I go for some kind of meetings and all that. It's by obedience, my friend. It's obedient to the word of God. And that is the part of sanctification Paul is talking about. He says, you know, not you are always obeyed. So the part is obedience. And when I looked at the Greek word very carefully, Paul is talking about that we are obedient to God at all times, right? At every moment. He says, not only in my presence, but now also in my absence. In other words, Paul is saying, you need to be found constantly obeying God, right? Obedient to God at every moment of your life. And so even when I'm there, Paul says, you're obedient. Even I'm not there, you need to be obedient. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, your obedience is not dependent on me. Because I'm there, because I'm teaching you, it is not, you're obeying me because I'm there. Even I'm not there, you need to be found obeying Christ, living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cannot blame, you know, there is no someone to help me. You have received the salvation, you have to be found obedient. So Paul is saying, you know, even I'm there, you need to obey. Even if I'm not there, you need to be found obedient. So when I look at this particular word, what does it apply in today's context? You know, I ask myself, it means, you know, like we need to be found obedient in every moment of our life. Not only on Sunday, my friend. Even though you are on a holiday, you have to be found obedient to God. If you are traveling, you need to be found obedient to God. Even if you are alone, you have to be found obedient to God. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Your obedience is not because of me. You need to be found obedient at every moment of your life. And that's what Paul is trying to say, right? Obedience is important in our life. Obedience to God's word. And he's emphasizing on this. Why should we obey? Sometimes we ask ourselves, why should we obey God's word? Why? Because when you look at the word very carefully, you know, chapter 2 is a very interesting chapter. If you look at it very carefully, it's very related. You know, because why in verse 8? Because Christ is obedient. If you want to be like Christ, you need to be obedient because Christ was obedient. If you want to be like Christ, you need to be obedient because he was obedient. And that's why, you know, Paul is saying we need to be obedient because, you know, why we are moving into spiritual perfection? We want to be like Christ. We want to grow in our spiritual life. We want to be like Christ, like my hero, my Lord, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to be found obedient. Jesus was always obedient to the word of God, right? He knew God's word well. At every moment, even the time of temptation, he was quoting God's word. You know, he was always found obedient to the words of God. And not only that, why? Secondly, we read from verses 9 to 12, it says, because, you know, Jesus is Lord, and I have to obey him. If Jesus is your Lord, then you need to be found obedient, my friend. If Jesus is not your Lord, then you need not to be found obedient. If you're not obedient to God, then Jesus is not your God. And that's the way Paul is looking at the passage. And if Christ is my Lord, I need to be found obedient, submissive to his word, submissive to the guidance of God's word, my friend. If not, then Jesus is not my Lord. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. Why we need to be found obedient. So our part is we need to be found obedient at all times. Why? Because we want to be like Christ. And, you know, what is our labor? As I told you, you know, sanctification, he's talking about sanctification when he talks about salvation. And, you know, it's not easy, right, to be obedient. If you want to be someone in your career, It's not easy. You need to work hard, right? William is a polo guy, water polo. You need to work hard, right? Why did I mention William? Because Singapore got a gold for 100 meters butterfly in the Olympics. Rain. It's the first time in history Singapore got a gold medal. And so together with my family, we were all rejoicing, right? Did Canada get any gold medal? Oh, yes. So we also rejoice a bit more because Singapore got a gold medal. You need to work hard. That's what Paul says. Obedience is not something that I just get into my life. Paul says, you need to work hard. You know, and when I look at the word very carefully, if you look at the word, it says, you work. So it's the word work in the Greek text, it's an active word. It's not passive. It's not like, you know, I'm saved, and so God has to work in my life. No. It's an active word. It's a call to action, right? You need to work hard. You need to work very hard. And that's what Paul is trying to say. And so you need to be find obedient, you know, find every means to be obeying God in everything that God reveals to me. And interestingly, you know, and Paul says, you know, you need to work out your salvation. I was looking at the text very carefully. You know, when you look at the Greek word, Greek grammar, people, some of you have done Greek. No, it says it is in the present tense. In other words, you know, you need to be working every moment, 24 hours, no vacation, my friend, no break, no. God, I'm on a leave, so leave me behind for a week. No, it's not like that, right? I'm on a cruise, so I will do whatever I want. It's not like that, right? The word is a present tense in the Greek text. It means that you need to be working out your salvation wherever you are, even in your workplace. You need to be found obedient to God. Even in your holiday, you need to be found obedient to God. Even at church, at home, wherever you are, you need to be found obedient to God. It is a middle voice in the Greek text. It means it is you. Don't expect another person to be obedient. It is you. It's about you. You to be obedient. Don't expect, you know, another person to be obedient. Secondly, it is also an imperative. In other words, it's a command in the Greek text. You have to, if you call yourself a Christian, my friends, let me tell you, it's a command the Lord expects from you. You have to work your salvation. That is, you need to be found obedient to God. And so today we need to ask ourselves, right? Am I doing the role that is expected from me? Am I obedient to God's word? We have heard, whenever I preach, I tell myself that my role is not to be the Holy Spirit. My role is a pastor. In other words, I bring the word to you, right? But then the Spirit of God, and with your help, with your cooperation, the Spirit of God works in your life. And so I tell myself, as Paul said, Paul said, I planted Apollo water and God gave the growth, right? And so, my friend, I just bring the word to you. But then when we receive the word, we need to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. And so Paul says, you need to work hard. You need to work. And in the Greek word, it also means, and that's the word that we get, energetic. In other words, with all energy, right? It's not that, I tried and I'm just giving it up. It's not like that. With all energy, right? If you realize, people who run the 100 meters race, right? Usain Bolt, right? He's the one who got the 100 meters. Sometimes when you see the people running, every muscle is moving. Am I right? You see the energy, right? And that's what Paul is trying to say. Full energy, my friend. It's not just the legs. The entire body, your soul and your mind, everything is working hard to obey God. Let me move on. And then it also means, right, it also says, how do you work hard? How do you work hard? If you look at the passage, I like reading this passage. It's a beautiful passage, with fear. And then he says, with trembling. Right? When I look at the word Paul's writing to the Philippian church, it's a letter of joy. So we hope to see joy everywhere. But then Paul talks about fear. Can you imagine? It's a letter of joy, happiness, but then Paul talks about fear. You know, when Paul talks about fear, what he's saying, he's talking about, you know, that taking God seriously. Then don't take God lightly, my friend. Sometimes many Christians, they take God lightly, you know, as if, what a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, God is our friend, but we treat him so lightly. Do we take him seriously? Look at the life of the early church, Acts chapter 2. The word awe is used there. And awe came upon the people. You know, they took God seriously. Not because they were doing this, what God wanted to. They took God seriously. They took their call seriously. They took their Christian life seriously. They took their obedience seriously. They took whatever was given to them seriously because they knew God is serious and I want to be serious in what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says, with fear and trembling. The word trembling in the Greek text, it means you are shaking inside. Lord, I'm shaking inside. If I fall into sin, if I'm found disobedient, I'm just shaking in my body. You know, sometimes when sin, we fall into sin, we don't shake at all. In other words, we don't even see it's a sin. It's wrong. It is acceptable to God or not. And so Paul says, you know, there is trembling, there is fear. There is a fear that I might stumble another person, that I might take another person from loving God, from serving God. You know, that kind of a fear that Paul is saying, you know, I want to be found obedient to the Lord. That is taking God seriously. How serious are we? Do we take God lightly? How do we take our worship service? Do we take it seriously when we worship God? Are we working hard? Lord, I want to worship you. I want to know when I sing the songs. I want to look at the word. I want to digest the word. I want to meditate on the word. Or is it just singing because someone is singing along with me? We need to work hard. Let me finish with this. What is God's part, you know? And God is so wonderful, you know. He doesn't leave us alone. He does his part. And if you look at the particular passage in verse 13, he talks about, you know, what is God's part? You know, and here in verse 13, now who? It says, for it is God who works. In other words, it is God who's working in you. If you look at some translation, the word God means Father here, right? In other words, the Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, he's working with us. It doesn't mean Father in isolation. It also means the Trinity. In other words, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is working in us. Can you imagine? What an encouragement. You know, when I was looking at this word, I was telling God, Lord, I thank you. It is not the Holy Spirit is working in me. It's Jesus working in me. It's God is working in me. The entire Trinity is working in my life. And that's the way Paul is saying. Can you imagine? God is working in my life. Who is working? He is involved in my life. And what is he doing? He's working energetically, right? When I look at the word, what is he doing? He's working. He's working. As I told you, it is also in a present tense. In other words, God is working constantly in my life. Sometimes I might think, you know, God is silent. God is nowhere to be found. But let me tell you, my friend, God is working in our life. God knows what's happening. He's working in our life. He's working. Last week I was preaching in another church and I was telling them, you know, sometimes silence does not mean that God has actually forgotten us. No. God is working in our lives too. It's in the present voice also here. And thirdly, it also says, where is God working? It says, the Lord is working in you. In your life. The word here is a very interesting word. Where is God working? He's working in the depths of our life, right? In our soul. Paul uses that word. He's not just working by doing activities for us. In your life. That's why, you know, Christianity is about relationship. Right? Christianity is about loving God. Christianity is about the inside, my friend. It's not what I do, but what am I inside? And Paul uses the word, it's in you. That's why in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that we are the temple of God. In Colossians, Paul writes it again in Colossians chapter 1:27, that Jesus Christ in you, inside you. It is not what I do that makes me a Christian, but what I'm inside, my relationship with God is working inside. To be allowed the Lord to work inside you, my friend. Is the Lord working inside in your life, in your hearts and minds? And lastly, it also says, how is God working, right? To will to work and to fulfill His purpose. In other words, let me finish by saying, you know, it says, you know, God is working. How is He working? He's working in my life so that He can influence His will, His desires, His plans in my life. You know, He's working in my life so that when I am in tune with God, I realize this is God's plan and this is God's will for me. He has not left me alone, my friend, right? He's working. The word is used the third time here, right? To will, to influence, and then my will, so that I will work towards spiritual maturity. If you look at the word very carefully, it's always will first, then work. God works in our will, our desires, before helping us to move into spiritual activities or even work that brings us to spiritual maturity. To fulfill His good purpose or pleasure. In other words, you can imagine, you know, God is working so that we will be like Him. That we will be like Christ. And that is God's purpose. You know, God wants to see us like Him, my friend. It's not, you know, 10%. You know, He wants to see everything of Himself in us. Let me finish with this story. I love telling stories, and let me tell you this story. I don't know, many of you work hard, right? And so this dad came back home, very businessman. He works long hours. He comes back home late, right? And I, by the way, I read the story. I'm not talking about any of you here. So he came back home and always working, always. He was a workaholic kind of a guy. Came back home. So the 7 years old son, you know, saw the dad coming in. And he said, "Dad, can I talk to you?" The dad said, "Fine, you know, talk to me." So the son asked him, how much do you earn working for an hour? Do you ask your dad questions like that? How much do you get an hour?" The dad looked at him. Do you think the dad answered him? Yeah, he said, "Mind your own business," right? "I'm not going to tell you." Then finally he said, "Okay, I'll tell you, but don't tell anyone." And the story goes like this. He told the son, "You know, I work. My pay for an hour, or they pay me $150 an hour, right? $150 an hour." So the son, he looked at him and he said, "You know, Dad, can I borrow $20 from you?" You know, the dad was so furious. "Oh, now you know I earn $150 an hour, so you want to borrow $20 from me?" He said, no, I just want $20 from you." He said, "No, you're a tricky guy. I'm not going to give you." The dad was so furious, you know, very, very angry with him. And so the son was crying and went back to his room, right? Went back to the room. After some time, the dad felt bad. You know, he went back, went to the son's room and said, "You know, son, you know, you asked me for $20. I'll give you, provided it's worthwhile. Provided it's for a good reason, I'll give you the $20. And the son was so excited. He took his piggy bank, right, and he opened the piggy bank and he started counting. It was $130. And he told the dad, "Dad, give me $20. And then he gave it to the dad and said, "Can I have 1 hour of your time? Because you earn 1 hour, $150. Can I have 1 hour of your time?" When I read this story, it reminded me, you know, that No, God is there working for us 24 hours. But whether we have time for the Lord Jesus Christ, He is wanting to work in our lives. He wants to work with all energy, my friend, 24/7. And He is ready to work with us. Let's pray. Sometimes I feel that the Holy Spirit in our lives is talking or even telling us, you know, son or daughter, I want some time from you. Like the small boy, he said, you know, Dad, take this money. Can I have 1 hour of your time? Are you giving time for God? And when you give time for God, do you take it seriously? Do you work hard to know Him, to experience Him, to have a relationship with Him? Dear friends, God wants to work in our lives. Can you imagine God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives with all energy inside us, provided we say, Lord, work in me. Come into my life, O God. Help me, Lord, to take things seriously. Help me to take your word seriously. Help me to worship you seriously. Help me to, Lord, live a life seriously for you, wherever I am. Lord, help me to live. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for each and every day. Your word says, I'm with you always. And we know for sure that you are with us always, O God, to work in our lives. And so, Lord, even today we pray. We don't want to be just in justification alone, but we want to be in sanctification. We want to be in the path of obedience, O God. Help us, O Lord, to do our part. Help us to work hard. Help us, Lord, as Paul said, not to grumble, but to just work hard on our own with God's help. And help us, Lord, to take you seriously. We just love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.